Hello, our favorite fried potatoes. I'm Serena.
And I'm Melissa.
And together, we're Curry Chips and Poutine. We're two friends separated by the Atlantic Ocean, answering the questions no one asks.
Enjoy!
Hello, our favorite fried potatoes. Oh, it's so good to be back recording another episode.
1 week off makes such a difference, doesn't it? Whew.
Yeah, for sure. When we first started the podcast, the one thing I always said to Melissa was like, anytime either of us needed a break, we'd take one. And I'm really glad we're sticking to that rule.
Yeah, in a world of constant content, it's important to see the big picture. Like, we're just two friends doing something fun on the internet. And if it's not fun, then we gotta rethink things.
We're human people too.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, you know, when we're refreshed, we have better chats and that's better for you guys. So on our week off, did anything exciting happen for you, Melissa?
Funny you should mention that, because at the time of recording, as in right now, I am officially a new cat mom and I've had said cat for about 3 days.
Oh my gosh, how is it? What happened? Tell us everything.
Okay, well, I mean, I've been texting all of my friends and my sisters just frantically. I've been wanting to adopt a cat for a while, because my sister's cat lived with us for a while and we just loved having her around. So we're like, oh, we need a fur baby too.
Yeah,
that's kind of how it is. Like, you get one, you can't stop. It's like tattoos. Because like, we had a family dog, but he passed away a few years ago. So it's been, you know, sad and furless in this house. I was looking up cats to adopt. And let me tell you, trying to adopt a cat in this day and age, I guess now during like, you know, lockdown and stuff, it's like applying for a job. It's ridiculous. Like, I had to fill out application forms, had to write essays. I'm like, why are you the perfect match for this cat? How will you give this cat the best life possible?
Wow.
Yeah, and I got rejection letters and everything, so I'm like, oh my god.
I feel like that would be worse though, because, you know, there's a fur baby at the end of that and they're like, nah, not for you today.
Basically, they're like, why do you want this cat? Okay, cool. Why are you a good fit for this cat? Okay, we've decided to not go through with your application. Good luck though. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, it's a bit like online dating, I guess. Like, you know, you try to get a feel for each other. Would we be compatible? But I'm kind of glad there's that process, because usually when cats are in rescue centers or adoption centers, they're there because they've either been given up or they were strays, yeah, or, you know, people couldn't look after them anymore. So it's nice to have kind of like that checked. Like, will you love this cat as much as it deserves?
No, for sure. And my sister told me that the process for her, by the way, was just so easy. She was like, I want that one, after, and then met her and was like, okay, cool, and took her home. That was pre-COVID, because it kind of sucks. I don't know if it happened over there too for you, but here in Toronto, when COVID hit and the first lockdown came around, everybody and their dad ran out to adopt dogs and cats to have a companion.
Yeah, that happened here too.
Yeah, and then they have just hundreds and hundreds of applications a day. So like, I get it, but it is just like a lot like applying for a job. And just get, you know, just utterly crushed when they send that rejection letter, or if they don't send you a response at all. You're like, what did I do wrong?
Oh,
why won't you
love ghosted.
Me?
Ghosted by the cats. Oh no.
Right. But we brought home baby Gigi. Oh, and she's 8 pounds, 8 years old. She is actually asleep right now, so I'm actually sounding like a parent. But yeah, she's just chilling in her room.
Good. That's good. And but, you know, cats really just sleep 2/3 of their life anyway, so I'm not surprised she's sleeping.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so nice. Like, I've had cats. I've always kind of had cats growing up. Mm-hmm. And in South Korea, I picked up a kitten that was,
yes,
like by my school, and it was like wintertime in Korea. And like, I saw her, you know, a bit just scruffy because she was on the street, but overall looked in really good health. And she was there for like a whole week, and I was like, if I don't take this kitten, no one will. And I'd named her already during the week, and she had come to me like a few times and I could like pet her, and I'm like, I need her. So yeah, I just like picked her up from the streets and never looked back. And I even brought her from South Korea to Scotland, so she now lives with my parents and my other cat.
Yay! It's so nice. In that case, you kind of had that connection. You're like, she loves me. We must go. We must be together forever.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, and you spend all that time together as well. And because we were all living on our own in Korea as well. So she was the one waiting for me at the end of the day and, you know, sleeping next to me. And, you know, I'm her person. And so when I go back to Scotland, she like immediately comes back to me, you know, meowing and chatting and be like, where have you been? And I'm like, my baby. My baby. baby. She's like seven, but she's like my baby.
Yeah, I mean, all pets are baby. Let's be real here.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what age they are. They're just baby.
Doesn't matter what animal it is either, by the way. Like, if I had a reptile, it would still be my baby. My friend has a pet bearded dragon, and he's her baby, so.
Yeah. Pets have that way of just making you all goo goo gaga. You know, you get your baby voice on when you're talking to them.
Yep.
You think about them all the time. You have their pictures on your phones, and you're just like, I love you, and I think about you all the time.
Yeah. You annoy the friends who don't have one.
Yeah, here, look at my cat. Like, not again, not again. Ugh. But look, they turn to the left, you must see.
Yeah, you get the best angle of this cat. If it's not obvious by now, and this doesn't normally happen, but this episode we're making an exception, we're gushing about cats.
Yay.
Been on my mind for quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, we try like make this podcast like interesting for everyone to like listen into, but just some topics, you know, like when we did sharks.
Yeah.
You just have to do. And actually, my first job in life at 14, I worked at a cattery. So I was like, got to feed and clean lots of cat units while people were going away on holidays. So got to get like a lot of hands-on experience with cats as well. So if you have any questions, Melissa, feel free to ask.
I have been picking all of my friends' brains, because all of my friends, my coworkers, my family, just about, so I have a whole wealth of minds to go over. Just be like, what should I do? It's been a lot of that this weekend.
Yeah, it was the really nice thing with cats is you can't really go wrong. Like, you know, they're so independent within themselves that they kind of pick everything up really quickly. Like, as long as they can get to their food and get to a little tree, like they're kind of good to go, you know, and just have a safe place that they can hide when they're not feeling extroverted, then it's all good.
Yeah, as of right now, as we speak, Gigi is actually sleeping behind the bookcase in the room that I've put her in. That was her safe spot. I don't have a proper cat bed with like an enclosed one for her yet, but she seems like being behind the bookcase.
Yeah, that's good. She's probably just feeling safe up there, behind there, sorry. I first had Fudge, she would always go on top of my wardrobe in the corner so that she could see everything. Thing, but yeah. You know, she felt safe up there, and when she wanted to come down for pets, she would just jump down and then come into my lap. So yeah. And you probably save yourself some money by not having like a cat bed at the moment, because chances are they probably wouldn't use it.
Yeah, honestly, like Maddie just sleeps on everything.
Yeah,
she likes blankets more so than anything else we've noticed. She'll happily sleep on a blanket somewhere, whereas my older sister, she is a very much a doting cat mom, and she has a cat bed in there. It's got a little dangly thing in the front so she can bat it there if she's feeling lazy. And, you know, my brother has a whole, you know, floor to ceiling cat tree with hidey holes. I'm like, all right, well.
Yeah. I mean, that's the dream, I think, having my house like completely tailored to have all of like the walls that they have cat things that they can walk up, and like room to room kind of tunnels that they can go through. Like, I would totally love having that.
That'd be super cool. I've seen things like that on like, you know, YouTube and TikTok and things. So I'm like, that is super cool. I wish I had the time and resources.
Yeah.
Let's finally get to the first question, shall we?
Let's go.
So, Serena, question number one. Would you rather have a cat that can go on the ceilings, or would you rather have a cat who can go completely invisible?
I like how we can't do an episode on superheroes or superpowers, because regardless of what episode we're doing, we always talk about superpowers.
It's true.
So we've got spider cat, spider cat, spider cat. They could do whatever spider cat could do.
Trailed off the end a bit there, didn't you?
I know, yeah. I was like, I don't know the rest of the words. La 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 la. I don't want to go for an invisible cat, because I feel cats are very good at hiding anyway. Like when we had Shadow.
Shadow, yeah.
Yeah. She's black and white, but she's mostly black. And when she was a kitten, especially, she would just kind of get in all to the nooks and crannies of the house. So I'd go away for like a walk or something, and my mom would call me, say, where's Shadow? I can't see her. I'm like, she'll be in a corner somewhere. Like, don't worry, she is in the house. So I feel they're pretty good at being like, you know, sneaky and invisible anyway. So I think it'd be kind of like amusing for a cat who can walk upside down on the ceilings, because you get spiders and you get bugs and stuff. And cats are very good at eating those. So if it could go on the ceiling, I think it'd be more efficient at removing those unwanted guests from your house.
Oh my God. Yeah, see, I have the opposite problem. Like, I like spiders, but I will raise bloody murder if I see centipedes or any other ground-dwelling insects. So I fully expect this cat to, you know, pay her rent by catching these things for me.
Yeah.
So.
It's funny, we sometimes get ants in the summer coming into the house, and like, I'll point out to Shadow or Fudge, I'm like, there's an ant, get it. And they'll just sit and they'll just stare at it. And they'll just watch it go by. I'm like, come on now, it's your moment to shine. And they're just like,
no.
Nah. Like, fine.
Oh no, it's like when Maddie was here, she'd look out the back door, like, you know, in the backyard, because it's a glass window. So she'd look out there and, you know, we'd be like, Maddie, look, there's a squirrel. And she would look in the complete opposite direction. We're like, okay, maybe she's not the brightest.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of with their vision, like, are they actually interested? Because cats are quite disinterested in a lot of things, you know, and then their vision as well. I think if the thing is moving, kind of skittery, they'll kind of be a bit more interested. But if it's just kind of doing whatever, they're like, yeah, well, that's fine. You do you over there. I'll probably go to sleep over here. So,
yay. Oh, I'm just kind of laughing at the idea of a cat getting caught in like a chandelier or something, just being like, just your meows and crashes. I'm like, oh, that was like a couple $1,000 worth of crystal. And this cat was just like, no, dibs.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't imagine myself living in a place that has a chandelier.
I suppose.
And even if I did, the cat could probably clean it by getting in there anyway, you know, pre-dusting.
It's like, oh, I thought I had a black cat. Turned out she was actually gray.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, cats don't need to be on the ceiling to break stuff in your house. So I will stick with ceiling cat.
Okay.
What about you?
Same thing. I also toyed with the idea of anti-gravity cat, but I think ceiling cat is funnier.
Well, cats can like jump about 5 to 6 times their own height anyway, so if they're doing that and then getting caught in anti-gravity, they'll just be there for a very long time, you know, just like, oh.
Oh, that reminds me, there's a cat character in a podcast called Welcome to Night Vale. His name is Koshik, and he floats in a fixed space about 5 feet off the ground in the men's bathroom at the radio station.
That was very specific.
That's his deal. That's his shtick.
Okay.
A floating cat, though, in a fixed spot. At least you know where he is at all the time.
That's very true. That would be useful as well. So for my first question, so question number 2 is more on like the abilities of cats. So would you rather be able to heal yourself by purring, or would you rather have the flexibility of a cat?
Oh man, both of these things are very appealing abilities. Just a quick question though, because there always has to be healing. So to what extent does this healing go? Like, if I had a cold, could I purr myself back to health?
Yeah, like, so usually people think if a cat is purring, they're usually happy, but they can purr when they're not feeling great because they're trying to make themselves feel better. And it has the same frequency that bones need to repair themselves,
which is super cool,
which is really cool. And just to think like it's actually just vibration that can accelerate the healing process. So if you've got a cold and you just sit there purring, you will feel better. And I guess like if you sustain greater injuries, you just have to spend more time purring.
Okay, so like if I got in a car accident, I'm actually purring for like 4 days straight.
Yeah, I guess so. But also purring takes energy, so you'll be like, I need to purr, and then like, okay, I need a break, and then I'll go back to purring. But eventually it would help you heal faster than you normally would.
Okay, I'm just laughing at the idea. It's like, ah, oh, give me a sec, I gotta go for a quick purr. And you go like, yeah.
Okay, I'm all good now.
And the last one, flexibility. I don't know what it's like being flexible. So that means I can squeeze myself into spaces as wide as my head?
I was thinking kind of like, if you wanted to like leap off something, you could, you know, always land on your feet. You'd be able to do some, you know, cool twists of your body. Oh. And you'd ace yoga class.
Yeah, that's another thing I could not do. I got a failing grade in a yoga class. Every time I moved, something cracked.
I think that's a sign you need to do yoga more, but you know, we can save that consultation for after the podcast.
Hey, no, my friend and I, we tried out yoga class and we're just like, yeah, no, we are not flexible enough to even attempt some of these poses.
Yeah. Jeez.
Because that, I feel like that's more specialized though, isn't it? Because I'm like, I'm not a parkour fanatic. I'm not going to go leaping off buildings and landing on my feet and be like, ha-ha, my cat-like reflexes saved me.
But now you could. You would have that ability and be like, haha, nothing can stop me now.
That's another thing, that's how I've been nerfed. All my joints are creaky. No, I'm gonna go with purring, just because the idea of purring to heal myself is, that's very appealing. I mean, I'm looking out for number one, making sure that I'm getting better every time I'm not feeling well. And I think it'd be very amusing for the people around me. It's like, Melissa, what are you doing? It's like, I'm just vibrating, you know, at a low frequency to make myself feel better.
I think, like, that would be nice for other people. Like, just touch my shoulder while I'm doing this and you can feel the good effects too, okay?
Oh, that's true, yeah. I'd just be the most popular person.
Yeah, like, oh, friend.
I mean, I am not a cat. I do not like being pet, but if I allow you, you can put your hand on my shoulder while I do my thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really fun question.
Yeah, I've just got the meme of, like, it's like a science picture of what's inside a cat, and it's like bees.
Bees. Oh, vibrating intensifies.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, there was an old folklore tale. I can't remember what culture it was from, but they told me this when I was in, like, second grade, so obviously the details are fuzzy. But it was one of those, like, creation myths of, like, why do cats purr? And this is why.
Okay.
Because this cat character, I can't remember if it was, like, a trickster figure or whatever, but this cat had a drum, and this cat was super proud and loved this drum. The only way you could make any noise was by stroking it.
Okay.
And that's what has to make the purring noise. And so I can't remember the exact details, what happened, but like the cat got into a fight with like a mouse or something, and the cat accidentally swallowed the drum. So now that's when you pet cats now, you make that purring noise because you're activating the drum that's inside them. I'll have to look into
that's
this.
That's hilarious. Yeah, please share this if you find it again. When I was looking at like cat facts for the episode, they were like, the origin of cats may come down to when Noah was on his ark and was like, oh no, we now have rat problems, and apparently like God made a lion sneeze and two cats came out and voila. Pest control. And I'm like, sure, okay. We can go with that if you want to.
I'll just sneeze out a miracle. That's cool.
Yeah, you know, it's not the craziest thing that's happened in the Bible, so.
No, you're absolutely right. That's also not the craziest creation myth there's been, so like, I get it, but that's weird. Yeah. Okay, I'll just sneeze out a lesser version of myself every time I have allergies. That's awful.
A portable version of yourself. Like, achoo, there you are.
Oh, God, no. Well, now things took a turn for the horrifying, so I'm gonna leave that thought behind.
Let's go.
So question number three. So we're getting more to the folklore of cats in this case. So Serena,
yeah,
would you rather have 9 lives or would you rather have 2 tails?
Interesting. Is there a story behind the 2 tails?
Yes, actually. So, gather around, kids. I'm about to get real nerdy. So, there are Japanese creatures, I guess closer to demons, called yokai. And there's a couple of cat ones because they love cats. So, there's 2 of them. There is the bakeneko, which kind of translates to, like, ghost cat or monster cat. And then they have the nekomata, which is the one that I'm talking about today, with the 2 tails. Now, they kind of get confused for each other every once in a while. But nekomata are known for being like cats who have reached an exceptionally long age, and then once they get to a certain point, their tails split. They're both known as like the trickster sort of like playing pranks, but they can turn sometimes kind of really mean-spirited if they feel like it, sort of spirits. So they're not ones that you would like mess with, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, so nekomata specifically, they have 2 tails, and they also like to pretend to be humans and then dupe their families and eat them.
Okay, so do I want to be... So it's basically like, do I want to keep living multiple lives, or do I want to turn into a prankster with a distinguishable feature?
Yes, but also you know, supernatural powers. You live super long, have 2 tails, shapeshift, raise the dead, that kind of thing.
All of my dreams are coming together in one question.
Your birthday's come early.
Okay, but the 9 lives thing, so is it like the same life and then like something happens where I'm like, okay, cool, I need to reset. And do I reset from that point or am I reborn? Like, is it more like, you know, Buddhist kind of views of reincarnation?
I would probably say it's like a reset button, just because it's the same life. You're just living it 9 different eras, if that makes sense. Like, you'll still have all your memories and stuff, right? You know what? Think of it as like Doctor Who regenerations, I guess. Every once in a while, you're like, well, time to pack this one up. And then, voila, it's new, it's you. You have 9 of them.
And does my appearance change each time?
If you wanted to.
I'm just thinking more in the Doctor Who kind of like regeneration thing, because it's like they change. I'm going to go with the 9 lives. I quite like that because, you know, you've still got your memories and things, and so you can essentially plan, like, okay, life 1, we're going to try this. Life 2. I was really interested in you know, microbiology, then let's explore that.
With a whole new name, whole new face, no one's gonna know.
Yeah, it's kind of like being a vampire without the limitations of being a vampire. So I kind of like that. Like, I would never want to be immortal. I think that's just too long, you know?
Yeah, but this is getting kind of close, wouldn't you say? Like, it's 9 lives. And, you know, if you're living for an average of, like, what, 80 to 90 years, that's still really, really long. You're not living forever, yeah, but you're living pretty dang close.
Yeah, but, you know, you might plan for having, like, each life is maybe what you hit 80 or something. But, you know, one of your lives, you might peace out pretty quickly. And you're like, well.
Just meet with an unfortunate end real quick. But like, well, so much for being a microbiologist. Guess I'll have to go on the next.
Exactly. Yeah, I think I'll go with that. That seems more fun and kind of more in line with, like, I have so many things I want to do with my life, but not enough time. But time's not real because I now have 9 lives. So, you know.
That's also true. I don't know, because thinking about immortality or like being super long lived, it just kind of makes me sad because I'm like, I'll outlive all my friends. You know?
But then you make new ones, and then maybe I'll actually like live long enough to see if we get to space travel for, like, you know, poor people and not just all these rich billionaires that are monopolizing space. Like, yeah. No, wait, I also want to go here too.
Someday.
Please take me with you.
I mean, in the future, who knows, right? But it's slow going, let's just say that.
Yeah, but no, I'll still go with my 9 lives.
Because, I mean, I kind of like the idea of having, you know, wacky powers and a tail split in half. Because if anything, it'd be a conversation starter.
That's very true. But having 2 tails kind of reminds me of Tails from, like, Sonic. And Tails was always not my favorite character.
Yeah, but also consider Tails is a fox and not real. So... I mean, this isn't really
okay,
real
well,
either.
Okay, well, I'm imagining... But... Yeah, exactly.
Work with me here.
But yeah, so you would rather be trickster... demon cat god.
I mean, I'm kind of into it. Like, it's you know, people always say YOLO, but no, you only die once in my case. You live forever, though. Well, okay, I won't live forever. I'll just live unusually long. People will be like, oh, who is that over there with the, you know, the completely human person who has 2 tails all of a sudden?
Yeah. And why is all my money gone? Yeah. Why is there now suddenly rockets everywhere? Someone tell me what's going on.
They had things like, what to do if, like, your cat is exhibiting this weird behavior, because it may actually be one of these guys. And it was like cats, like, standing up on their hind legs, cats who sit very close to your face and breathe in, steal your breath while you're sleeping. They also had one, if your cat has developed an unusual thirst for lamp oil, it may be one of these. I'm like, okay, I'll keep that in mind. Maybe I'll just fill up my oil lamp at night, right?
Yeah, I think that those are very much stories of their time, you know?
No, absolutely, yeah. I love it, though, because, you know, it's a snapshot of history and how people have always been people, thinking up weird reasons for why weird stuff happens. Love it.
With question 4, I'm going to come back to maybe the feeling of having a cat. Would you rather have a cat appear on your lap anytime you read a book, or sleep next to you anytime you nap? Because I think that's one of the great things about having a cat is, like, you know, when it sits in your lap, you're like, I've been chosen, it wants to be on me, and I'm just, it's just very, like, very relaxing. And then when they sleep next to you, you're like, oh my god, it trusts me.
See, I have to say, I've never actually had a cat sit in my lap before, because Natty is the cat who I've lived with, right? She is not an affectionate cat at all. Like, she doesn't come for pets. She just lies next to you. And if you pet her, she'll just make noise, and, you know, noises of complaint, but doesn't do anything. So we just kind of, like, we'll be like, oh, Natty, Natty. And she's like, and then my sister's cat, Onyx, is very cute, very small for her age. She's kitten size, but she's like 9. She's also not super, like, cuddly affectionate, but she's really good with being picked up, so you can, like, pick her up and cuddle her until she's like, okay, that's enough. So, like, that's nice.
Yeah,
I obviously have not tried picking Gigi up yet, because she's been through a lot in the last few days.
Yeah, very new. Fudge likes to come sit on my lap. Like, if you put her blanket on your lap, she's like, yes, this is my time, and she will come sit on your lap. But the funny thing is, if I'm sitting on the sofa and then my granddad comes and sits on the opposite end of the sofa, she will always go to him, even though he's always, like, a bit reluctant, you know, because her grandparents could be. And then she's like, no, this is where I must be. And so he's like, just gives up and is like, okay, I will pet you now.
Maybe that's just, like, a family member thing, because, like, my dad's very much like, cats, what, why do we have a cat in the house? And then the next day he's like, oh, where's Maddie? And, like, she'll sit next to him while watching TV. I'm like, okay, cool. You say you don't like her, but here we are.
Yeah, I think that's such like a dad thing. Like when I first got Shadow, like I brought her home when she was like a kitten, like a baby kitten. And my dad was like, oh, she's going to chew all the wires. She's just going to make a mess. She has to live in the garage, la, la, la. Yeah. And anyway, you know, I bring home like a teeny tiny kitten and he's like, heart is melting. And then, you know, when he comes in from work, he's like, where's Fadji? Yep. Where's Shadow? Like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I was like, where are the cats? Yep. And he'll like pick them up and take them to like his bedroom where he watches TV and stuff.
Maybe that is just a dad thing. I don't know. My dad is like, Maddie, oh, Maddie. Like watching, she's still sitting next to him on the couch and they'll watch TV. I'm like, okay.
Sweet.
Yeah. I think I would go with the cat sleeping on the bed thing because Maddie did actually do that. And so I would be like, oh, Maddie's sleeping down on my bed instead of, you know, my sister's room where she normally sleeps. But the problem with both of these things is that I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I am just an incredibly super warm person. So having a cat on my lap, I think would be more uncomfortable for me. And I'm like, obviously, you know the rules. If a cat is asleep on you, you don't move.
No.
And if I'm sweating to death with a cat on my lap, I'd just be like, I don't know if I can handle that.
You just have to accept your fate. That's it.
I know, but I'm sweaty enough as it is. I don't want to subject a cat to that. Maybe that's why they like me. I don't know.
Yeah, they're here to just absorb your heat. Like, yeah.
Please take some.
Give it to me.
But yeah, but Maddie slept on my bed before and it's very sweet. She'll find her little corner there and she'll stretch out and I'm like, I'll roll over and be like, oh, there's a cat foot in my face. Okay, cool.
Oh, I prefer having the cat in my lap because even though I can't get up, it's always a very good excuse. Like, no, I can't go do those dishes because there's a cat in my lap. But when I sleep, I tend to kind of like toss and turn a lot. And like, I don't want to disturb Fudge or Shadow, but I always do. So they'll always like start in my room and then they'll leave. And I'm like, it's okay. I understand.
I mean, it's all down to personal preference. Like when I sleep, I guess I just conk out pretty hard. I don't toss and turn it unless I'm trying to sleep. You know, but in general, I fall asleep pretty quickly if I'm, you know, lucky. So I could just lock in my position and that's it.
Lock it in.
Bam! Sleep time.
I'm jealous.
I hope she has chosen me as her person and choose to spend her time sleeping in my bedroom, which is down in the basement. So.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. And I'm sure, like, obviously the first kind of human she gets to interact with in her new home, you will become her human. So yeah. It just takes time. And I think with anybody who's just getting cats or not really sure, like, as long as you just take it slow and kind of gently and quietly, like, you know, respect their boundaries.
Yeah.
It will all be good. Like, if you try and force anything, that like, that's just never going to work, especially with a cat. Like, I think with dogs, like there's some leeway in because dogs always kind of want to be around humans. You can kind of get away with that, but with cats they have very clear boundaries. Like, you can pet my belly twice, but three times I will cut you.
Yes A friend of mine put it in a really good way. It's like dogs are like a lesson in unconditional love, and then cats are like the ultimate lesson on consent, because if this cat doesn't like you, it'll let you know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's good. And like, I always find it funny, like when kids like meet Shadow for the first time, and like Shadow will let you pet her, and like she's really soft and really cute because she's getting on now, she's about 13. But if you do annoy her, like kids don't really have that sense of boundaries because they're learning as they're getting up, she will like their hand and like she will put a bit of a claw in there and they're like, oh my god, the cat,
my cat hates me.
They're like, oh, and scarred for life. And Shadow's like, yeah, don't touch me.
Yeah. And you know, that's what it is. It's important to teach people consent, especially when people are like, can I pet your dog? And if you say no, then they pet your dog anyway. I'm like, all right, well, cool. You're a terrible person. Look, my dog was very small and very cute because he was a white dog and had brown ears, but only brown ears, right? So he was adorable.
Oh.
And he was soft and fluffy. And people all the time would be like, oh my God, I love your dog. And like, go and pet him. And he doesn't like strangers much. So he was like, I'm like, yeah, please don't accost my dog.
Yeah, no, it's always important to ask. And if, you know, the owner tells you something about their pet, then you have to respect that.
Exactly. There was another dog I met the other day. It was a Great Dane. And those dogs are massive. Like, this dog could put his paws up on his owner's shoulders and be like a full head taller. He was a big boy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, can I pet your dog? He's like, come from underneath, because he'll get intimidated if you're like going for the top of the head pats. I'm like, okay, that's how you respect him. That's it.
Just ask.
That's what it is. Consent, people. It's not just for animals.
Wait.
I meant to say it's not just for humans. Excuse me.
Consent's for everyone.
Yes, it is.
Cool. That's all of our questions. So here's my bonus questions for our lovely listeners. So obviously it's all about cats, and here's one about cat abilities. So would you rather have cat ears or cat eyes? Let us know in the comments on our Instagram page. You can also leave us a voicemail on our new website, which is completely awesome.
Yeah.
And if you feel comfortable like asking us your own questions and things, like just say, and then we can even have you in the episode. Oh my god, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, it is the coolest feature in the world. We tested it out. I'm like, oh my god, this is so cool.
So let us hear your voice. You want cat eyes or cat ears?
Yeah.
And there's no wrong answer.
All right. So now that that pleasantry's out of the way, it's time for the What Would You Do segment, Serena.
I'm very interested to see where you go with this.
Okay. Well, we'll see if you can pick up what I'm putting down. You are walking down the street with a friend one day. It's a beautiful day. See a cat walking past. Nothing unusual. This cat is holding a little gift in his mouth.
Oh.
So you stop at a crosswalk and the light changes and the cat does not follow those laws because it doesn't understand that red means stop and green is go, and also they're colorblind. A car comes around the bend. You dash in to save this cat. You do a super dramatic like dive and roll and you're like, oh my god, this cat's okay. I saved a life.
Yay.
The cat stands up on its hind legs and says to you, you saved my life. I'm eternally grateful. And it extends to you an invitation to go to its kingdom. What would you do?
I'm gonna follow the magical cat. Like, I don't think there's like any universe in any of my 9 lives where I don't follow the cat.
I mean, I kind of figured, but
yeah, because you know, I've already committed quite a lot to save the cat's life. You know, I've dived into traffic to save the cat, and now it's speaking to me, and I was like, this is clearly my life's purpose. It's all been leading up to this one moment. So if the cat is inviting me to a kingdom, it'd be kind of rude to say no, wouldn't you think?
Bear in mind that cat's ideas of what humans like is very different from what cats like, right? So you could go there and they could be like, oh, we've prepared this feast for you. Something but like wet food that smells gross, or like it's like all mice or something.
This is true, but we do like fish. So I'm a banker. They're going to offer me fish.
You can't know that.
No, I can't. No, but knowing what I know of cats, I'm going to hope there's some nice fish there. Maybe a bit of caviar if it's a fancy fish. I don't know. A bit of chicken.
Cats eating caviar. Is that a thing?
I don't know. I just kind of made that up. I could see that.
It's fish egg, so I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah. Like my cats like to eat chicken with a bit of spice on it.
Really?
Yeah. Like they'll sit and stare at my mum especially. Like to me, they know, like they'll sit and stare at me, but I'm like, your looks mean nothing because I am, you know, strong of heart. But they'll go and sit like with other members of my family and just like stare into their souls. Like they'll usually pick like one of my younger cousins and they're like, cousin Serena, help me. I'm like, just focus, don't give in. And they're like, ah, and then give them like all of their cake.
Oh my god. I mean, that's the superpower. You have to avoid
staring directly into their eyes.
You're immune to the sad wibbly face that they give you.
Or my love of food is just that much stronger. I don't know which one's which.
I love food more than cats. There's a bumper sticker for you.
Oh, I don't feel okay with that. Anyway, I think I would just accept this talking cat's invitation to its kingdom. Like, I feel this would totally turn into like one of the two-tailed demons you were just talking about earlier. But you know what? Let's go.
I love that though. You did not even bat an eye. This cat stood up on its hind legs, bowed, and was like, thank you for saving my life.
Yeah, man. Like, I believe it. Let's do it.
All right. You're going to have to make sure you roll well for this one. Time to flip a coin.
Well, I mean, we're talking about cats. That has to be tails.
All right. It's heads.
Why? Why? I'm going to request another break from the podcast until we sort this out. Like, come on now.
Okay, come on, man. No, it's heads. I did this fairly. So the thing about that, being a visitor in their kingdom, they expect you to adhere to some of their customs, like giving up your humanity and slowly becoming a cat over the course of your visit there.
Huh.
So you've left behind everything. Everyone you've ever known will never know what happened to you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And your apartment that you leave behind is filled with catnip. That's the only clue they have.
What happened to Serena? I don't know, but there's loads of drugs here now.
Oh, no. I mean, yeah. So that's what happened to you. But you're now a cat in their kingdom. So, you know, trade off, I guess.
Could I come back as a cat to the people that I know and be like, meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow. Give me my drugs.
Well... saying this about drugs here. Don't be weird. I'm going to say probably not. That's probably a stipulation. It's like, come join me in my kingdom for saving my life. You are now a valued member of this kingdom and only this kingdom.
Well, that's what I get for being super committed to following demon cats and saving their lives. So, you know, okay, fine. I'll make it work.
But this cat was the prince of his kingdom. So you saved a member of royalty. How's that feel?
Feels pretty great. I knew I was destined for greatness, so totally happy.
Okay. This is actually a movie by Studio Ghibli. It's called The Cat Returns. Ah. And that's actually what happens to the main character. She saves the prince of the cat kingdom. And then it's the funniest thing in the world because they like give her gifts, but they're gifts that cats like. So she's like, I don't want any of this. It's an adorable movie. So I highly recommend it. Okay. There's also one of the more iconic cat characters. His name is the Baron, and he's a cat in a top hat and suit, and he's very dapper.
Excellent. I can get down with this.
Yeah. Have fun. Enjoy. That didn't end that badly for you. I think it was okay, considering.
Yeah. You know, if you tilt your head far enough. Yeah, it was pretty great. Pretty great ending.
Love it.
So, after that lovely scenario, do you have a nice message for us to end the episode on?
We do! It's time for the self-care sign-off, guys! So, in case you haven't heard, Serena and I are big fans of our furry little pals.
We can't get enough of them, but there are lots of them out there in need of good homes. And if you're mentally, physically, and financially ready, you can make one of them part of your family by reaching out to a local rescue or adoption center.
Many of these animals were rescued from all sorts of situations or were living on the streets, and they're just waiting for you to give them all the love and treats and cuddles that you can give them.
If you're in the UK, you can check out Cats Protection. They have like local branches and would totally love any new cat parents. And you can find them at cats.org.uk. Nice and simple.
There's tons of rescues and adoption centers in Toronto as well, but a special shout out to the Action Volunteers for Animals organization. They are the ones who helped put a GG in my life, and you can find them at avacats.org. That's avacats.org.
Bonding with your new fur baby will be like a totally special experience, so just take it slow and steady, and you'll have a new companion for life.
Hey, Chips! If you like what we do and want to help us out, we've made it super easy to do just that.
You can find us at our website, podpage.com/curry-chips-poutine. And it's a one-stop drop to all of our delicious content and merch. You can even donate to us directly. Magic!
You can leave us a review or even drop us a voicemail to tell us how you really feel, in your own words. And if you're happy with letting us, we can use your voice in a future episode. It's even easier now to suggest a would-you-rather question of your own and be a part of the podcast.
You can contact us through our website, Insta, or our good old email, which is still currychipsandpoutine@gmail.com.
We love you, and we appreciate you. Stay delicious.
See you next time.
Bye.